Hi, I'm Doug Keck, and welcome once again to the Catholic Sphere. You know, each week we bring you an insightful discussion on the latest issues facing the Catholic Church and the culture we live in from a theological perspective. Today's topic, did Job get jobbed, or is there more to his sad story? Up first with us is Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, Father Patrick Mary, making his debut on this program. Next, we have EW10's Vice President of Theology, Colin Donovan, a stalwart, as always. He's in our theology studio, and finally, we're joined by the one and only Franciscan Missionary of the Eternal Word, Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. He is with us today from the EW10 live set, which obviously he's been on many times in the past, right here in Irondale, Alabama. And so we have our August panel here in August. So it's good to be with all of you, of course. And talking about Job and the topic really having to do with people saying, who are familiar with him, seeming he's a nice guy, he seems like he's a righteous man, but yet some reason he seems to be taking it on the chops quite a bit. And the question is, what are we to gain from this idea? What are we trying to learn? Or what is God trying to teach us in the story of Job? Colin, I'll go to you first.
Sure. I think it's helpful to know the setting a little bit. Job is not your traditional historical book in the Old Testament. It's something that seems to have come up in the context of Israel's own moral development. The idea that God, you know, rewards the good and punishes the sinful, and it's almost a complete dichotomy between the two. But in the book of Job, which seems to have been written probably around the time of the Babylonian exile, we see a man living in a culture who is experiencing suffering for no apparent reason. He was a good man. He had done everything right. He had raised his boys. He even sacrificed for them, made sacrifice for them because they possibly may have sinned, and he was trying to do everything right. But in reality, he suffered. And so this was, I think, a beginning of a moral education of Israel to understand what would ultimately be fully revealed in Jesus Christ, the idea of innocent suffering. And so we see that play out in many levels in the book of Job.
Right. Father Joseph, you know, we have our own experience here, obviously, with Mother Angelica, who suffered greatly, and obviously we have the highest regard for Mother and what she's done for the church universally, let alone the employees here at EWTN, and she had a mini book that you had mentioned, the Healing Power of Suffering. So how did you view that when you were dealing with her situation, where you said, why is she suffering? All of us out there watching and say, why does Mother have to suffer so much?
Yes, and you know, Mother said actually that suffering kept her dependent on God. You know, if everything is going well and we have it all together, we don't have challenges in our life, we can think, well, I don't really need God. But when you're suffering, and sometimes actually when Mother would be coming to this live show set to do the live show, and she was just really sick. Right. And yet she would come out here, she'd be able to do the show, she had the grace to be able to do that. But then she'd leave and that sickness would return. That happened on a number of occasions. So she said, you know, suffering keeps me dependent on God. I have to rely on Him to do the programs that she didn't need it to do, or just to lead the monastery she was doing and her various works. Mm-hmm. And she never asked for that healing. She, of course, was healed remarkably on January 28th, 1998. Mm-hmm. And she told me she never asked for that healing. Mm-hmm. But she saw the effect it had on people and how it gave them courage. Mm-hmm. And so she understood why the Lord gave it to her.
So let me ask you, Father Patrick, the idea of suffering, and to follow up on what Father said about the effect on other people. So can there be good fruit as a result of one suffering not only for themselves, but for others seeing someone struggling with suffering?
Oh, certainly. In fact, you know, we have this line from Job, happy is the one whom the Lord reproves. And we can also see that, you know, in certain sense, we know that suffering is the result of sin. In fact, as we have this line from Job that, you know, do not reject the reproving of the Lord when suffering comes. And then we know this is a truth that Job's friend tried to get, he thought that Job was sinning. And but the problem is, though, is that he attributed to Job wrongly, that it, we know that from the book of Job, it was not that Job had sinned. He was striving for holiness and virtue. Mm-hmm. But we know that also from this book that sometimes the innocent suffer, right? That God is permitting this in our lives for some good. There are good fruits in that. And we see certainly how it is restored manyfold over at the end of the book of Job. But we also have, we have the benefit of the fullness of Revelation, right, in the New Testament, that St. Paul would mm-hmm. recognize, too, that suffering produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. So that's one thing, is that when God, in permitting suffering our lives, it allows us to endure, to persevere to the end. And just as Father Joseph had just mentioned, too, it does instill within us a greater trust in God. We recognize that I'm not in control, so it can instill humility within us if we accept it, if we embrace that cross. Mm-hmm. But also we can think of St. Paul just saying, you know, I rejoice. He got to the point where he could say, I rejoice in my suffering. There can be this happiness, this good fruit, because it helps us to realize, too, that this earth is not our final destination. Right? We are created for something so much more, the eternal life with God in heaven. And finally, we can also think of the Lord saying, you know, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are you when you mourn. That we know that suffering itself is a trial. So there's not happiness, which is the attainment of some good in the mm-hmm. suffering itself, but it can lead to endurance, to a greater desire for heaven and for the joys, the peace that the Lord wants to give us.
Right. Colin, picking up on what Father Patrick just said, even the idea, was part of it also to kind of deal with a culture where it was believed in general that if one was suffering, it was because of someone's sin. Somebody did something wrong, and that's why they're suffering. And it's almost, we see it to some degree played out in our culture today sometimes with the kind of word of faith movement or the prosperity mm-hmm. gospel, that if somehow you're sick or bad things are happening in your life, it's because you don't really believe enough.
Yeah, I think that's definitely definitely true. I think, you know, the problem of evil has always been with mankind, and Scripture gives us the various approaches and answers to that. I think, as I noted earlier, Israel was at the state where it saw it precisely in that way. And many Christians stay in that state mm-hmm. because, you know, we love the Lord, we know the Lord blesses us, but we don't see, well, what can then be the benefit? And I think Father Joseph and Father Patrick described wonderfully what the blessing of suffering is for the perfect. It help, or for those who are seeking the good. It helps them grow stronger. It helps them to build upon the goodness that the Lord has already given them by way of grace, by their endurance in through suffering. But suffering serves an even greater role in our culture and in societies and in Israel. And I think this is what took them some time, and they didn't really fully grasp even by the time of our Lord. And that is that sometimes suffering is not a question of the goodness or the evilness of the person in particular. But things happen because God in His providence allows them to happen. They're not necessarily what He would choose to be, but He has given us freedom for us to be persecuted by others, for nations to invade nations, and we have to deal with those things. And I think, for example, at the time of 9/11, we had this, you know, sort of psychological conflict in our country over, well, how can we explain such a great evil? And I think the traditional Catholic way is to see that, you know, suffering can have multiple purposes. In the good, we've seen already the example of Mother and of how it can help someone become holier. In the people who are good, but, you know, some sinfulness in their lives, it helps them turn to be repentant and to benefit and to in a way, settle the questions of justice that their own sins and unrighteousness have caused. And it also has a further purpose in those that who are not unrepentant, who are convicted in following the evil path. It ultimately will not only be punishing in this life, and although not necessarily, it will be ultimately punishing. And so this is the mystery of hell and the purification of those, well, in purgatory as well, who didn't settle justice perfectly, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, we should, on the way to the judge and not wait till we get there, but rather has some elements of justice to satisfy. For the good, it will be in purgatory. for the evil, it will be in the other place. And so the mystery of evil and the mystery of suffering sort of come together at that point, and we see how in God's providence they work themselves out.
So, Father Joseph, you know, sometimes people hear the kind of Catholic tradition that we've kind of talked about, that understanding of redemptive suffering, and I think they think, well, that is that just a good excuse for things we can't explain, or is the church masochistic or something? How do we react to that?
You know, I've given that mini book of Mother Angelica, The Healing Power of Suffering, to a number of people. They told me how much it helped them, because I think Mother breaks down different types of sufferings that we experience, but then the healing power that's generated by that. And I think it's helpful. For example, she talks about corrective suffering, right? Mm-hmm. So Colin was mentioning how when we're in sin, there's a certain misery of the soul that happens through that. That's a corrective suffering, calling us to repent, calling us to return to the Lord. Mother also talked about preventive suffering. So sometimes we don't get what we're asking for, and then later we say, you know, I'm glad he didn't give me that. Mm-hmm. I think it is Cardinal Newman who said, God could do nothing worse than give us everything we ask for, because mm-hmm. we're short-sighted, right? We don't always see. But then Mother also talked about interior sufferings that we can have. And so worry and fear, that these things make us rely more on God, look more forward to heaven. The disappointments of our life detach us from the things of this earth, so that we're looking more toward the things of heaven. Mm-hmm. But regarding redemptive suffering, of course, the children of Fatima were taught that. And that's helped me a lot, actually, mm-hmm. because they were taught to make an offering of everything. Mm-hmm. And so little Jacinta especially took this to heart. Jesus, this is for love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and reparation for the offenses against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Mm-hmm. Mother Angelica herself understood that she would have something dramatic happen that would cause her some suffering. She said, the Lord's opening a new door for EWTN. Mm-hmm. So one time she had broken her wrist and she had these little rods sticking out of mm-hmm. her wrist. She said it was one of the worst pains she'd ever had. But she knew the Lord was going to open up a new door. And I'll just close with this, that Mother has this major cerebral hemorrhage, this stroke. Mm-hmm. She's now bedridden for the last 8 years of her life. A lot of suffering, prayer, and the monastery. The network grew more than it had in its whole history. Right. And that just shows you the power of prayer, suffering, and love united together, because that's right. Jesus. That's what he did on the cross.
Do you think it also showed in some way that as important Mother was, it was really God's work that was at work, and that he works through mysterious ways, in ways that not the way we would think, oh, you need Mother's got to be there and she's got to be leading the charge, when mm-hmm. it's really in her suffering and contemplation, and again, also showing that it is ultimately God's work.
Exactly, exactly. And of course, we're blessed to have the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration praying for right. this network. You know, that their prayers or sacrifices or offering, living the enclosed life, shows us that power of prayer and silent emanation of love, which is what the cloister is. And again, suffering shows us our own limitations. You know, so I think in times, as we get older, you know, as Doug and Colin and I are getting older, right? We're getting greater limitations, and we're having to embrace that in humility mm-hmm. and to say, you know, it doesn't depend on me. It depends on God. It's his network. It's his work, ultimately.
Right. Father Patrick, do you think sometimes when we were talking about in suffering, is it also that way, in a sense, with the church, in the fact that when the church is being persecuted, it seems like it actually becomes stronger?
Yeah, absolutely. The church becomes stronger. As I mentioned earlier, you know, that as we know, suffering produces endurance. And in fact, it just exactly what Father Joseph said, that in the sense that suffering allows us to have a deeper trust in the Lord, that's where our strength is found. And so this humility, this trust, actually is a greater witness. And I love, like, you think of, like, some of the saints who are known, you know, a virtue common to all the saints is humility. And we would think that what the line of thinking of the world is humility is weakness, but it actually is strength. strength, right? The most confident people are those who are humble, because they trust not in themselves but in the Lord. And again, this is what suffering does. It brings this sense of strength to us, because we realize, I can't do anything apart from God. And so this suffering that God's mm-hmm. permitting in my life is strengthening me, because I rely completely on Him, and that's what He wants. He wants us to let go of our desire to control things, to have things according to our will, to trust in Him, to completely get rid of those obstacles that are preventing His grace from working actively through our lives.
Right. So, Colin, to follow up on Father Joseph, we were talking a little bit about Mother. One of the things Mother used to always talk about with suffering and things like that is God's permissive will. Why don't mm-hmm. you explain that?
Yeah, in that light, I was thinking when Father was talking about, you know, she was saying, well, you know, if you've got a headache, take an aspirin. You don't have to just sort of tough it out. And
right.
You do what you can within your limits, and then if God allows you suffering to continue, then you know you have something to offer. And I think mm-hmm. that's a very important principle, this idea that, and it's exemplified most in our Lord, who combined not only the idea of satisfying justice, which He did for all of us, but also of doing it out of a spirit of redemptive love in order to redeem us. The children of Fatima, Father Joseph mentioned, similarly did that. We can do it in our own lives. And I think there's something that the Lord told Sister Lucia in her mysticism, which I think is very important. And that is that He wasn't asking for great things. He said, the penance I ask, it's not to do, you know, go off and carry the cross through a hot desert or something like that. Mm-hmm. No, the penance I ask is to fulfill the duties of our state in life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we want to go off and do the heroic things or do the gigantic things, mm-hmm. and, you know, that maybe draw a little bit of attention, and there may be some pride in there. But if we simply did where we are placed, what the Lord has given us to do, and tried to do it as faithfully as we could, that is the greatest thing we can do, not only for ourselves to grow in holiness, but also to participate in the reparative and the redemptive love of Christ Himself.
And that's where you usually see when someone is true to a charism, when it's religious or whatever, that's where you see the fruit come. And it seems to mm-hmm. me when somebody decides, I got some better ideas and goes in various directions, that's when you see the problems show up. And we've seen that with some of the, I think, women's religious orders over the last 50 years, and that's concerned. So, Father Joseph, let me ask you, in the actual story of Job, one of the people involved in it kind of points out the idea that that God may permit a righteous person to suffer in order to prevent future moral darkness.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true, right? That we can be taking a path in the wrong direction, and the Lord's correcting our course. You know, one time one of our employees here asked me to call a friend of his who was out in California who was dying of brain cancer, and he had been away from the church for 38 years. And so indeed I called him, and this man said, you know, sometimes, Father Joseph, we never look up until we're flat on our back. You know, so that's a way to put it that mm-hmm. really kind of gets at the heart of this, is that sometimes we never think of God. We never, I think C.S. Lewis called it the blowhorn, you know, the megaphone of God to get our attention when maybe we're just distracted by the things of this life and He sees that our soul is headed toward perdition. Mm-hmm. Well, in His mercy and His love, He's trying to draw us to get our attention, to wake us up, to think about the eternal perspective of things, that we are limited, mm-hmm. that we are eventually going to die, and we're going to have to give an account for the way that we've lived. So suffering can be an element of preparing us for a happy death, for eternal life. And there's so many stories I could tell right. about that as well.
Right. Let me ask you, Father Patrick, the idea of, you know, we said how you can evangelize maybe through your own suffering, but also in the story of Job, you know, obviously a lot of his friends are saying, well, you must have done something terrible here that maybe we don't know about. Otherwise, why would these bad things be happening? So one question would be, is that something we need to today avoid if we're dealing with others who are suffering?
Yes, very much so. We should avoid that. We don't know what's going on, why God permits things. Again, there is an aspect that certainly suffering can be the result of our direct sin, our personal sin. But just as we see from Job, it's not necessarily the case. And many of the saints who are the holiest, most virtuous people that are on the face of the earth, or Our Lady herself who was sinless, she suffered, right? Our Lord himself suffered. So we have no idea. And we need to be very, very ready to avoid any rash judgment of why our family members, our friends, or loved ones are suffering. So that's very good in light of Job to be careful about making judgments of why we think someone is suffering. But we know that, again, whether it is to correct something or, you know, for has a penitential aspect, or if it is just to strengthen us, that we trust that God has our good in mind, and He's always ready to bring healing to our lives, and He's calling us to always trust in Him.
It's interesting. I always think sometimes we like to believe that's the case because we're thinking, well, if this is happening because they did something, as long as I don't do it, I'm not going to have that problem.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah. We need to be very, very careful. Exactly, because we have no idea why it is.
Right. So, talking about suffering, one of the things also in relation to the Book of Job. You tied it in, Colin, earlier, and I want to go back to that, mm-hmm. idea of the foreshadowing and the connection with Christ, in a sense, being, again, a righteous man who's suffering.
Yeah. Well, and see, this is, as we said at the very beginning of the show, human race is generally conditioned to think, especially if they have some idea of God, is that if they're being successful, the Lord is blessing them. If they're not being successful, you know, the Lord is punishing them. And that was clearly the mentality that Job had to deal with here in his wife, in his neighbors. And so he was grappling with it himself because he would have been catechized, so to speak, by his own tradition to see it that way. And it's a natural human reaction, I think, depending on not necessarily having a Judeo-Christian belief, but just a natural reaction that, well, what have I done wrong here? Mm-hmm. And that we have to be careful both with ourselves as well as with our neighbors, as Father Patrick said, not to judge them, but also not maybe in dealing with ourselves to look at it as punishment, but rather to look at it as an opportunity of grace. And this would be the real imitation of Christ. He had an advantage in judging others that we do not, unless we're a Padre Pio and can read hearts, and that is he knew their moral state exactly. We don't have that that possibility. And so, in a way, we can't say that we know ourselves. This is even said in Scripture, you know, the things of man are deep and we have difficulty understanding them. So I think what we need to do is we need to be a little bit patient with ourselves and with others in order to avoid falling into that trap.
Well, it's interesting as you say that because we try to get an understanding, and Job tries to get an understanding, and when God speaks to him from the whirlwind, he really doesn't explain everything, but in a sense is kind of saying, you don't understand the big picture, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. And you know, part of the charm of this story, so to speak, is that Satan is brought into it as the accuser to bring out that role, something which was not spoken of much in the Scriptures up to that point, other than in the first chapter. And so in that context, you can see this idea, and it's not believed that this is something that necessarily actually happened. Job may have been a person mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, a righteous man who suffered during the Babylonian exile, as did many good Israelites. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, this idea of this dialogue, God and Satan, is the moral lesson. This is the literary or poetic form by which we are instructed into the nature of innocent suffering, mm-hmm. and why, and God gives the reasons why this one, that one, and so on. Yeah. And I think this is something we need to take to heart.
Right. Absolutely. Padre Pio's name came up, Father Joseph, also talking about the idea of suffering and great saints. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's a strong connection, obviously, for Franciscans, right? Because of the stigmata.
Yes. And the stigmatists teach us a lot about the value of suffering. So Rhoda Weiss had a profound influence. She's a servant of God now on Mother Angelica and Mother's own understanding. She was a mentor to Mother Angelica when she was a teenager in her early 20s, and Rhoda Weiss had the stigmata, and she suffered the wounds of Christ at different times. And then Padre Pio, for 50 years, he has the wounds of Christ. And I think of Veronica Giuliani. I love this story and her life. So she has this mystical experience. Veronica Giuliani also had the wounds of Christ. And she sees Jesus on the cross, and then his right arm comes off, and he invites her to come close. And she comes close to his open side, his heart, and he embraces her. We've seen that image with St. Francis, for example. And she didn't want to leave. But what she understood, and I think this is really helpful to us, what she understood is she was entering into his suffering love for mankind. So through her own suffering, she was entering into his love for mankind. So it's not like we're doing anything apart from Christ. Heavens no. It's with Christ and in Christ that we're entering into his suffering love. And so Christ's life is being relived by us too, and his glory ultimately too we're going to share in.
Right. Let me ask you, we've got about 2 minutes, Father Patrick, how do we, let's say, prevent the theology of redemptive suffering from becoming an excuse for passively accepting injustice or failing to relieve another person's suffering?
Yeah. No, we should certainly do all that we can to assist others, that we know that, again, as Colin mentioned earlier, it's an invitation for grace whenever the suffering, whenever the cross comes in our lives. It's an opportunity for us to be united with Christ. At the same time, we are called to charity and to do all that we can to assist others in carrying the cross. It's a means for us to grow in holiness and to show the love of Christ in others. There's a witness, too, you know, that when I bear the cross, when someone bears the cross out of love for Christ, that in itself has an effect on others to draw them closer to the Lord. They see the interior effects of peace and joy which only Christ can give. So we want to certainly bear the cross ourselves, and we want to do all that we can to assist others in carrying the cross, that it's not to, again, throw off suffering as if it's only purely evil. Christ transformed that, but to help them, assist them, to point them toward Christ, who is the fulfillment of all our heart's desires.
Right. So, Colin, was this a test of Job's faith?
It certainly was that, and it just as it's a test of our own. And I think there's no more fitting cap on the story of Job than the words of St. Paul, who said, I make up in my body the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his church. And so we participate in Christ's own redemptive love when we give our sufferings and we offer them to God in a righteous way, as we've all tried to describe today. And this way it benefits the church, it grows the church, it strengthens the church as well as ourselves. And that's the beauty of the redemptive love of our Lord working in us.
Perfect. Thank you. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you again, Father Patrick, Colin Donovan, and Father Joseph for being with us today. And we thank you, as always, for joining us. Don't forget to join us next week right here on the Catholic Sphere. We will bring you yet another topic dealing with theological issues and concerns in the Catholic Church. I'm Doug Keck. This is the Catholic Sphere. We'll see you next time.